You know, this has been another one of those crazy weeks, right? I feel like every time anyone comes up here, they can say, this has been another one of those crazy weeks, right? It's just this nonstop, you know, something's changing, something's new, some new problem, some new turn of events, some new scare, some new event that takes place that causes us to pause and go back to God again and again and again and just say, we need you. Right now, before I even start, I was thrown into the mix for preaching this week. I wasn't scheduled to preach, but I was thrown in the mix because, as we all know, Pastor Scott has COVID and he's been at home sick, and his wife Sharon also. We just found out this morning, though, that his oxygen levels have dropped to some dangerously low levels, so they're actually bringing him to the hospital. So before I get started, I just want to pray as a church, and I want to lift him up. I want to ask for God, the great healer, to come upon Scott right now. So please join me in prayer. God, you know everything that's going on. You know how Scott's body is right now, Lord. And Lord, we know and we trust that you are the great healer, Lord, that you can heal him right now. God, I ask you to please be with the doctors. Please give them great wisdom, great skill to give him the treatment that he needs. And Lord, I pray that this is just a fluke and that his oxygen levels will come right back to normal and that he'll be able to go home and just to continue to recover. But Lord, we know you're in control and we know you're holding him right now and we know that you'll heal him, God. So we ask you just to please be with him now, be with Sharon right now, and we just pray for great, great healing, Lord, for him and for so many other people that are dealing with this right now. God, thank you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to keep on this mic unless I find out the other one's going to work. So I'll watch for them to give me a heads up in the back. As I mentioned, we have Scott. We know what's going on with him. And then we have Pastor Lewis and his wife, Faith, who've been under quarantine now for about a week. And Faith has been dealing with a fever all week. So we don't know for sure if they have COVID, but just to be really safe, they're staying at home. And we just want to lift up Faith in prayer as well. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on all the time. With me coming up here to preach, it wasn't something that I was expecting to have doing right now. I was having one of the busiest weeks of my career with my office. Things are super hectic. And I wasn't expecting to have to prepare a sermon today. So I really just kind of went to God and I'm like, God, what do you want me to share with everyone today? What is it that you're knowing that people need to hear? And I'm going to break from our series that we've been covering in the book of Matthew. And I'm going to share with you guys this morning something that's really been on my heart that's super relevant to everything that's going on these days. I really want to just spend today talking about hope. Life can be difficult sometimes, right? When I was writing the sermon and putting it all together, that was before I knew about Scott going to the hospital. I almost feel like I need to shift directions a little bit, but except everything that I've written and everything that I feel that God has shown me is just super relevant. You know, sometimes we're faced with all sorts of burdens and trials, and it could just be overwhelming. You may be dealing with a loss, a setback, a physical pain, a bad prognosis, a deep emotional hurt. And then sometimes it's not that it's any one thing. It could just be that there's these small things that keep on piling on top of one another. And you could handle one problem, but then the next one happens, and then the next, and then the next, and then the next. And all of a sudden you're overwhelmed, you're overburdened, and you're just over it. One of those smaller things happened to me a while back. And these are things that there's nothing big in and of themselves, but they just start to weigh on you, right? A couple years ago, my wife and I were on a camping trip. We had an RV that we were taking down to the beach. We left late, and then when we arrived, I went to go unlock the door to the RV, and I accidentally broke the key off in the door. I couldn't get in. I struggled with it for about an hour or two, and then ultimately, my wife and I just ended up sleeping in our truck that night. Then the next day, after the locksmith let us in, we're finally getting settled, and then we run out of propane. And then several other things happened with this. It just kept piling on, piling on. So when we left late. We got home late. I was tired. And when I went to go park the trailer, I rushed a little bit and I clipped the roof of the house and shattered a window and scraped up the side of the RV. Just one of those things where it just compiles one thing on top of the next on top of the next. More recently, I built a lattice fence, and the plan is to grow trumpet vines all over them. I've never built anything like that before, and it looked really great. When it was finished, it had this kind of like an artistic flair to it. It was practical the way that I designed it, and I spent days building it, digging holes to pour concrete footings, building the fence, putting it all together. And then last week, it was crazy windy, and more than half the thing blew down. And it doesn't just blow down and like, oh, I'll just prop it back up. No, it blows it down. It splinters the wood. It cracks everything. It breaks the footing that I put in. It just drives you crazy, right? And then at the same time, we have a water leak somewhere in our backyard. And I have hired people to help figure out where this water leak is. We've been digging, trying to search for where it is. And after spending a whole bunch of money, we still have a water leak in my backyard. And we have holes. So like anytime I go into the backyard, I'm like, all right, watch out. There's a hole there. There's a hole there. Don't step in those ones. My business is in the midst of the busiest and most stressful season we've had in almost 5 years. Every day I get hundreds of emails. Most of them are urgent. The office phone has been ringing off the hook. I've been working 15 hours a day to make sure that certain deadlines are met. I'm having personnel issues. It's just one of those things that just keep piling on, right? And then I have this ongoing medical issue that some of you know about that's just a continual, like, pain in my side. My mom's been in the hospital for weeks now. We're really not sure how much of an improvement she's going to have and if there's going to be much of an improvement. My sister-in-law has cancer, and the prognosis for her keeps changing every time we talk to her. When you start adding those things together, you can see why a broken fence can be incredibly frustrating and disheartening. So it's not really about the broken fence, right? It's about all of these things just piling on top of us. There's a good chance that you could relate to this kind of stuff. You may be dealing with diseases, with death of a loved one, with financial ruin or bankruptcy, job stress or job problems, broken families, betrayal, infidelity, heartbreak, physical pain. The list just goes on and on and on. And then add more global things into the mix. We're currently in the midst of the worst pandemic in our times. It's affecting most aspects of our lives. You know, if we talked about Scott and Sharon being sick, Pastor Lewis and his wife sick, you know, many others are quarantined. People are afraid to leave their houses. Many of us haven't seen our loved ones in a year. The rate of infections are just getting worse, so we're likely not going to see much improvement until next year. And on top of that, people are losing jobs. Homelessness is running rampant. Then there are the major, major things like floods, earthquakes, mudslides, tsunamis, starvation, plagues, persecution. And I'm not talking about the let's remove the Ten Commandments from the federal property persecution or the your boss telling you not to say Merry Christmas persecution, because that's not really persecution. Some people call that persecution, but that isn't persecution. No, I'm talking about the call yourself a Christian and suffer for it persecution. According to Open Doors USA, which is a ministry that for the last 60 years has provided support to persecuted Christians, they say that each month, 322 Christians are killed for their faith. That's each month, 322. Each month, 214 churches and Christian properties are destroyed. Each month, 772 forms of violence are committed against Christians. This includes beatings, abductions, rapes, arrests, and forced marriages. Now, I know I'm only talking about negative things, and there's plenty of good that happens in this world all the time. But just because there's plenty of good doesn't take away the fact that there is bad out there, and we are dealing with bad stuff. And unfortunately for some people, sometimes there is no good at all that they can easily see. There's no good that's right in front of their face. It's just one bad thing after another. Through all of this, when life is hard, what keeps a person going? When you feel like things couldn't be any worse, when you know things couldn't be any worse, when you have nothing left, when your strength has run out, when you've lost the will to fight, even if the negative things you're dealing with is nothing like some of these really bad situations I've talked about. Maybe they're just little minor things over and over and over again, but you're just having one bad week after another, or one problem after another, or one pain after another. What keeps a person going? The answer is hope. But not necessarily the word hope that people often throw around. In 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter's writing to a group of Christians that are dealing with some major trials. The trials they're going through may be different than the trials that we face, but the words that Peter shared aren't meant to only apply to them. Peter shares an important truth that we need to be aware of when we're dealing with trials. Peter shares what hope is. If you want to open up your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read a passage. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through it, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Let's pray, and then let's see what this passage is showing us about God and about hope. God, thank you so much for your word, that we can come to it and then we can find what it is that we need to hear at any moment, at any time, Lord. We thank you that you are directing us to your word, Lord, where we could be reminded of what it is that you need us to know and you want to know. Lord, please bless our time here this morning and help us to absorb what it is that we need to hear, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this passage, Peter mentions living hope. Living hope is a significant term that this whole passage rests on. So, what is living hope? In order to understand what living hope is, it really helps if we understand what living hope is not. As I mentioned, Peter is writing to a group of Christians that are experiencing or facing persecution. Some have been scattered from where they used to live. They've lost their homes. They've lost their families. They're struggling. They need encouragement. They're likely feeling lost and hopeless. They need hope. Most everyone hopes. They hope they're going to make more money. They hope they'll get a new job. They hope their health will improve. They hope they'll be healed. They hope they'll be reunited with someone. They hope that they'll be rescued. They hope that things will somehow improve. They hope. This kind of hope is different than the hope that Peter is talking about. This kind of hope is temporary. It's like piecemeal. It covers everything from, "I hope we can eat at In-N-Out," to, "I hope this surgery will be successful." If your situation improves, your hope for that situation is fulfilled. Then you begin hoping for the next thing. When I read the news, or those rare times I look at any kind of social media, I see a lot of political articles, comments, and posts. And what I see tells me what most people think of hope. Some people are celebrating that President Trump is no longer going to be the president, as they celebrate that Biden has been elected. Then the other side is angry and talks about how horrible Biden is and how the end is nigh because he's now going to be our president. Both sides are painting a picture that either says life is just starting and things are going to be great because Biden won, or life is over and the world is ruined because Biden won. In other words, one side is saying we now have hope because Biden won, and the other side saying we now have no hope because he won. In both of those scenarios, they're just describing temporary hope. They're hoping that the next 4 years will be what they desire. When I was doing research, I actually found a reference to this from 4 years ago that I also wrote, only there was a different president name at the time. Nothing has changed in the last 4 years. People are still mad about this president. They have hope here, They don't have hope here. It's all the same. It's just history repeating itself. People are putting their hope in the wrong things. Regardless of how the next 4 years go, at some point, they're going to start hoping for the next thing to satisfy them and make them happy. And the next thing. And the next thing. And it's temporary and it's unquenchable. That's how most people view hope. That kind of hope is filled with temporary. Joy is only temporary. Happiness is only temporary. Peace is only temporary. With this kind of hope, you always need to hope for more things to hope for. This kind of hope may bide you some time of peace, but if you rest on this kind of hope, your rest is going to be really short. Now, hope in the Bible is different. Hope in the Bible is living. In verse 3 through 4, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." Living hope is an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, and kept in heaven for you. The inheritance he's referring to is your salvation. Your salvation is imperishable, which means that it is free from death and decay. It's never going to end. It's eternal. It's undefiled, which means that it has no kind of moral impurity or uncleanliness. It's perfect. It's unfading, which means it's inexhaustible. It won't ever be less than perfect, and there's enough for everyone. It's kept in heaven for you, which means God himself is protecting it. He's protecting your salvation in heaven. This is saying that when you have faith in Christ, your place in heaven is held and guarded by God himself. Nothing at all can take it away. This is not hope in something that will be temporary or hope in something that will be unquenchable. This is hope that has no end, never fades, and never dies. This is hope that says no matter how hard it gets, God is always with me. No matter what happens in this life, one day I will be in heaven for all of eternity with my loved ones that went before me, with no pain, with no sadness, with no hurting, and with no stupid broken fences. It's a hope that says no matter how bad it is, this life is only temporary. The next life is eternal. Because of this, you can have comfort when life is tough. You can have peace when you're overwhelmed. You can have joy when everything seems to want to take happiness away from you. Peter also talks about trials. Specifically, he says that our faith is strengthened through trials. In verse 7, he compares our faith when it's tested with gold that endures when it's held against the fire. He says that our faith is also tested with fire. The devil throws stuff at us to damage our faith, but our faith is more precious than gold. Our faith is based on this living hope. Our faith is insured by God himself. God's promises are not temporary. God's promises are of perfect, unending, inexhaustible eternity with him. God's promises, promise of no more pain ever again, his promise of no more medical issues ever again, no more financial problems ever again, no more stress from work or school, no more water leaks, no more cancer, no more hurt, no more surgeries, no more depression, no more loneliness, betrayal, infidelity, death, disease, no more persecution, no more floods, no more earthquakes, no more tsunamis, no more pandemics, no more COVID. This is what living hope is all about. You don't have to worry about who the president is. You don't have to worry about when this pandemic will end or when the lousy stuff you're dealing with is going to improve. You don't have to worry about things that are outside of your control. You can face trials with joy, knowing that they are just temporary. You can face trials as you watch your faith and your living hope become strengthened. You can view any trial you face as just a temporary bump in the road, because you know where that road ends. You know that God has promised that the end of the road will be amazing and incredible. The end of the road doesn't really end, actually. It veers sharply upward towards a perfect, unending, inexhaustible eternity. When you live your life hoping for things, you get no guarantees. When you live your life having living hope in Christ, your future is guaranteed. When I talk to people that don't know who Christ is, and they share with me their sorrows or their pains or their hurts, I try to search for the words to give them some comfort, which is really difficult when they don't know what living hope is. People oftentimes, if they're not believers, if you tell them, oh, I'm praying for them, they're like, I don't want your prayers, or your prayers are meaningless, because they don't know what living hope is. They don't know that prayers are connecting us to that living hope that God gives us. I find it so incredibly sad for people that are suffering through these trials that they face, or people that are afraid because of this pandemic right now, when they don't know who Christ is and they don't have that living hope, because they're just living in fear. They're hoping that the pandemic's going to go away. And when the pandemic does go away, then they're going to be hoping that the next thing goes away, and the next, and the next, and the next. And it is just a word. That kind of hope, as I said, is just meaningless. Think about the happiest moments in your life. Maybe when you finally got that gift you've been dreaming of. You were a little kid and you got that bicycle you were hoping for. Or maybe when you're a little bit older and you got that new car you were dreaming of. I was just talking to a friend yesterday about the new car that she got, and she was so excited about it. I could just imagine what her face looked like when she first got the keys to that car. But that pales in comparison to maybe the first time she saw her spouse on her wedding day, or her first child, or second, or third, or however many. Lord, the Lord gives us all these great moments of great happiness. That when you first arrived on that vacation, everyone had to cancel plans this year, right? My wife and I and the kids had a trip to Europe plan that got canceled. I've always wanted to go there. I had all these dreams in my head of what it's going to be. And one day, I'll get to go there. And that is going to be this great happiness when I get there. When I saw my wife walking down the aisle, one of the happiest moments of my life. When I saw my two children when they were first born. When I see my kids being super excited about something that they just, like my daughter yesterday was doing a mock trial thing via Zoom, and just to watch how well she did and just to watch how happy she was about how well she did, that's this happiness that we're talking about. We get a lot of happiness like that, but none of those compare to this joy that I've been talking about. None of that compares to this living hope. So if you think about all those things and then compare it to what the living hope in Christ is going to be. A few years back, Pastor Lewis and I hiked from the north rim to the south rim of the Grand Canyon. You go way down for a really long time, and then you go way up for a really long time. We did it in 2 days. The second day was extremely difficult. I hit the wall early on. I think I didn't have enough protein or bagels or something, and every step that I took to get up that mountain was a struggle. I was literally counting like 100 steps at a time. 1, 2, 3. Then I'd get to 100 and then I'd rest. Try doing that for 8 miles uphill. It's exhausting. When we got near the top, we looked up ahead. We were about a quarter mile near the top. And Lewis and I could see our wives and our kids. And they first saw where we were, and we first saw where they were. The way you feel when you've been struggling for hours and hours and hours, and you don't know if you're ever going to reach the peak, and you know your wife and kids are certainly not down in the pit of the Grand Canyon with you, if you see them, you imagine how that made me feel inside. That was indescribable. This feeling of, I'm almost there, and not only am I almost there, but there is who I love the most on this earth. Wow, this experience was awesome and beautiful, and I know you have experiences in life that are awesome and beautiful. It reminds us that one day we will all get to see how much those experiences pale in comparison to the inexpressible joy we will have when we see God in heaven for an eternity. I'm going to move now into our time of communion. And band's going to come back up here, or some of them. When we talk about this living hope and then tying it in with communion, we get to take communion every week to be reminded of the fact that Jesus died for us so that we can have living hope, that Jesus rose again from the grave. When we take the communion elements, we take the bread to symbolize his body, to show that we are asking Jesus to become a part of us. And we take the juice that represents his blood that was spilled, and we drink that juice to remember the suffering that he did for us so that we can have this living hope that I've been talking about. When you take communion this morning, whether you're at home taking it, communion, or you're here with us this morning, remember that the reason that we're taking communion is because he died for us to give us this living hope. Not the hope that's fleeting, not the hope that is soon replaced with another hope, and then another, and then another. He died for us to give us living hope. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for a constant reminder via communion, Lord, that you give us living hope. We know that no matter what happens in this life, Lord, you are at the end. And that joy that we will experience will make everything that we've ever experienced, every negative thing we've ever experienced, be like nothing, God. You will wash all of that away. And this communion is a reminder every single week that no matter what we're going to face this week, you're there for us. You're waiting for us, Lord. Everything will be perfect one day when we're with you. God, thank you so much for giving us this reminder. Thank you for sending Jesus for us, Lord. Thank you for desiring to have us with you. We can't earn this by ourselves, Lord. There's nothing we could do to get into your presence. You chose to bring us into your presence, God. And you remind us that each and every week through Lord, we thank you so much for giving us this reminder and this inexpressible joy. In Jesus' name.